Dear friends in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our Sabbath rest. Amen. The words from the Gospel reading are again from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 through 28. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" And he answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" This is God's word. Please be seated. If you've ever made this mistake, you know. I've never made this mistake. For the record, no. Let's just say that you're driving along Interstate 94 in western North Dakota. The traffic is light, practically non-existent. The highway is straight and wide, and the scenery, the view is just wide open spaces. You're bored. It's been a long day in the car, and you're starting to feel cramped. You begin to get a little impatient, and you lose track of your speed. And then suddenly, from out of nowhere, you hear the siren, and you look in your mirror, and there are the lights. And you quick look around you to see if he might be after somebody else, but no, there's nobody else out in western North Dakota. What are you doing there? So, yes, sirree, the long arm of the law has just caught up to you, even way out here in no man's land. Too bad you couldn't have kept your patience for just a little bit longer, because just 20 miles ahead or so is the Montana state line. And in Montana, if you don't know, the good people of that state have decided that their highways are so remote that there's no need for a speed limit anymore. That's right, you drive in the state of Montana, and as far as your speed is concerned, you've reached the end of the law. Really, just drive carefully, and that's about it. There are no further restrictions on your speed. What a relaxing way to drive, huh? No fear of being caught, no guilt, no threat of punishment for driving too fast. You know, there aren't many places in this world where you reach the end of the law. And even in Montana, they may not have speed limit restrictions on some of their highways, but I'll bet they still want you to drive on the right side of the road. Actually, I only know of one place where we truly come to the end of the law. Only one place where the law can no longer make you feel guilty, where it can no longer threaten you with punishments, where it no longer has you nervously looking in your rearview mirror, wondering if you're being watched and if somebody is going to nab you. There's only one place where we come to the end of the law. And it's really not a place at all. It's a person. It's our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus. You see, in Jesus' day, the long arm of the law was even longer than it is for us. And the laws of the Jews reached into nearly every aspect of your life, telling you when and how to wash your hands, whether and where you could spit, how many steps you were allowed to take out of doors on the Sabbath day. The laws even said that you couldn't step on a blade of grass on the Sabbath day, because bending the grass is kind of like thrashing, and thrashing is work, and work is forbidden on the Sabbath day. It was legal, spiritual micromanagement with a fine-tooth comb. And so all of life for the Jews, and especially the Sabbath day, was lived with your eyes glued nervously to the rearview mirror as you wondered whether you were going to be cited for some violation. And of course, human nature being what it is, You know those little radar detectors people put in their cars? Human nature being what it is, there were always those people who wanted to look around and see if anybody was watching. And when it was all clear, they'd step on the grass and bend the blade. Oh, the forbidden pleasure of it. On this particular Sabbath day, Jesus and his disciples were hungry. Just like David in the Old Testament had been hungry, and there was nothing else to eat except that consecrated bread in the temple. And so they ate the bread, and they were not condemned for that, because God cares more about people than he does about religious restrictions and laws. And so the disciples began to pick some heads of the ripened wheat in the field, rubbing it between their hands to separate the chaff from the kernels so they could eat it. When, oh boy, the sirens went off and the lights went on and they were caught by the long arm of the law. And here comes our Pharisee in blue with his polished CPD badge, the Capernaum Pharisee Department. Sir, what you're doing there is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Rubbing wheat between your hands is kind of like harvesting, and harvesting is work, and work, as you know, is forbidden on the day of rest. What do you have to say for yourself? Such was life under the tyranny of the law. You could hardly take a breath without violating some law and being made to feel guilty about it, and perhaps even being threatened with punishment. The law is like that. It is a cruel tyrant. It seeks to control us by threatening us and by always making sure we know that we are guilty. St. Paul said it in Romans 3, "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin." What a cruel tyrant. And yet, hold on, because just 7 chapters later, in Romans chapter 10, Paul also says this. He says, "Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." Coming to faith in Christ out of that dark former way of life is kind of like crossing into the state of Montana. And suddenly you've reached the end of the law. In Christ, no more threats about being pulled over by God and being slapped with a violation or a punishment. St. John says there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Why are people afraid of God? Because they're afraid of his punishment. But Scripture tells us someone has already been punished for us. And in our place, God's own Son. And so in Christ, we've come to the end of the law. We don't have to look in the rearview mirror anymore, wondering whether God is going to be out to get us. And in Christ, there are no more scowls of condemnation. You know, a police officer comes to the side of the car having just pulled you over. And he has a mean look on his face because he's angry at you for what you just did. He says, "Driver's license, proof of insurance." Not with Christ, not with God. No more looks of condemnation, because Paul says there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God sent his Son into the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And you know what a sin offering is, right? It's an offering that takes away your sins. No wonder God can lift his countenance upon us and smile upon us instead of scowling at us. And in Christ, no more need to feel guilty. Because as Hebrews says, our hearts have been sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. You've seen the commercial that says, "There is no crying in shipping." Well, Jesus says, "There is no guilt in believing. because I died to take that guilt away, and my blood sprinkles your hearts clean. And if you do still feel guilty before God about something, it's not because God's law is putting the pressure on you, but it's your own lack of trust and incomplete understanding of a God who really does forgive even the worst of your crimes for the sake of Christ. And the guilt is gone, because Christ is the end of the law. Everything that the law used to do to tyrannize us, it can no longer do. St. Paul said this in Romans 7, "By dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code." What a great and relaxing way to live your life as a Christian. Christians have the very best life, because it's like driving in the state of Montana. And we already know that the speed limit laws are not there to worry about anymore. And we don't have to worry about the laws of God either anymore, because Christ is the end of the law. He fulfilled it all for us. Is this then what Jesus meant when he said, "I will give you rest"? He is the Lord of the Sabbath, and Sabbath means rest. And he says, "I am your rest. You got enough problems in this world to think about. All of the things that go wrong and all of the sorrow and sadness that comes to this world. But at least in this regard, you can rest. You can rest from the fear of punishment. You can rest from a guilty conscience. You can rest from wondering whether God is out to get you and what he thinks about you. You can rest from constantly thinking that you have to earn the favor and the love of God. Relax a little bit. You are a Christian. Your destination has been secured in the blood of Christ. Now relax a little bit and enjoy this journey that God has put you on, and serve your God in the new way of the Spirit. And instead of always thinking of God as cop, judge, and jury, who lives only to throw the book at you, think of him instead as your guide through life, and his laws as your guide. Because he only wants you to have the very best life you can possibly have. And so he has laid out his laws for us to show us how to find and live that kind of life, an abundant life, and a joy-filled life. And that's so much better, isn't it? It's the attitude of the psalmist who said, "Lord, I love your laws. They are tyrants to me. I love your laws. Your laws are a lamp to guide my feet, and they are a light along my path. Your laws are my heart's delight, because they show me, O Lord, how to love you." So, because you, O God, because you put me first when you sent the Savior, I will put you first in my life. Because you call me by name out of the darkness and into the marvelous light of Christ, I, O Lord, will call upon your name and use your name with the utmost respect and reverence. And because you sealed your eternal rest to me in the blood of Jesus Christ, I will honor the Sabbath. And every week I will come and rest myself in the Lord. And you go down the list of the Ten Commandments, and you see all of them in a whole new light. Because God is a loving Father, I will love my father and mother. Because you, O Lord, gave me life, I will respect your gift of life. Because you, O Lord, were faithful to the church, I will be faithful to my spouse. Because you, O Lord, provide for my needs, I will never take from anyone else what you have provided them. Because you, O Lord, speak so well of me at the throne of the Father, I will speak well of others. And because, O God, I was your heart's delight when you enacted the plan of salvation, you, O God, are my heart's delight, and you are the desire of my heart. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee, O God. Christ is the end of the law. That means free from guilt, free from the fear of being punished, free from wondering what God thinks about us, free to enjoy this journey, and free to enjoy God by serving Him in the new way of the Spirit. Isn't that a whole lot better? In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us now pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. A special prayer has been requested this morning for Gary Jones, who is the son-in-law of Elder and Rosie Gruenhagen. He was involved in an accident at work and lost the fingers of his right hand. And so we pray that God would help him to adjust now to the life that he will have without the use of those fingers. Let us go to our God in prayer. O Lord, our God, you are our refuge and salvation. Having delivered us from the slavery of sin to freedom in Christ, pour out upon your church throughout this world your Spirit, that people everywhere may come to faith and praise your name for eternity. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let your blessings rest upon our land and upon the authorities which you have ordained for our good. Grant wisdom and prudence to our president, our legislators, the governor of our state, together with judges, law enforcement officials, and the members of our armed forces. Cause them to defend our liberties, to rule wisely, and to protect the weak and the innocent. Grant protection to our service personnel, especially those who serve in dangerous places throughout the world. Keep them from harm and danger, that they may return safely home to their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Send us favorable weather, that our land may yield its increase, and that our hearts may rejoice in you, the giver of all good things. Grant patience to farmers and migrant workers, that in the midst of unpredictable and even violent weather, they may not lose hope, but rejoice in their vocation to provide for our daily sustenance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty Father, from whom all fathers on earth are named, you entrusted your Son to the protection of Joseph, his earthly father. We thank you for the gift of our fathers. Help them to provide and care for their families, so that they may be an example of your fatherly love, even as they tell their children of your mighty deeds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And, O Lord, hear the voice of those who bring their troubles to you. Listen to their cry and rescue them from every evil of body and soul. Hear our prayers and the prayers of those whose spirits groan faint from their trials. Heal those who are sick, O Lord. And especially we pray today that you would be with Gary Jones. Bring healing to his hand and wisdom to his doctors as they treat him. And, O Lord, give to Gary patience as he adjusts to life now without the use of his hands. And lead him in the path you would have him to go. Comfort him, we pray. Be near those who are dying and comfort those who mourn. Especially we pray that you would comfort the Bukup family and also the Niebergalls as they grieve the passing of loved ones. Watch over all who travel. Be a shelter to those who are homeless, and a protector to the widow, the aged, and the unborn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.